spinning complacently in the darkness, covered and blinded by a blanket of little lives. False security has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms wide open and mind reeling. Your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
I'm Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchene of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators.
Welcome to Smashville.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate throughout the NHL with all the scores, highlights, news, and more.
But you need to dig in right now, every guy. I want to see people rip their heart out of their f***ing chest this period. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier.
Right, it's time for a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. After what I just witnessed just a few moments ago, I have got to tell you, I am sick and I am tired and I am ready to get in the trenches with each and every one of you Renegades of Puck. So, out of those racks and into those trenches, I don't care what time it is. We've got things to talk about. You want to get involved, Renegades of Puck? Do so on Twitter. At Predneck Nation, always welcome. I'll go ahead and read them as you tweet them. Also, you can tweet at Nash Sports Radio, and we appreciate you supporting Nashville Sports Radio. The Renegades of Puck can take over Nashville Sports Radio because this radio station has 100% backs the Renegades of Puck, and they made the mistake of giving me a key and an alarm code. So I'm here in the trenches, first thing this morning, on a game day in Smashville, recapping what ended up being a disaster in Chicago just a few hours ago for the Nashville Predators. After 60 games played with one quarter of the season to go, the Nashville Predators are 29-23-8. Currently, they have 66 points and are outside the wild card playoff picture looking in. With 66 points, that has them 2 points out of a wild card spot at this point, but the Arizona Coyotes are between the Preds and a wild card spot, and then you have the Calgary Flames in the number two wild card spot at 68 points. The Winnipeg Jets sitting at 69 points. All of these teams have played more games at this point than the Nashville Predators. When it comes to the divisional race, the Dallas Stars, third place in the Central Division, sit exactly 10 points ahead of the Nashville Predators. And with St. Louis kicking the ever-living hell out of the Stars tonight, that keeps that margin at 10 points for the Nashville Predators. On home ice, the Preds are 13-12-4. And tonight, they will welcome in the Columbus Blue Jackets for the first of two regular season meetings. The Columbus Blue Jackets are 30-19-3, currently sitting in the wild card spot number two in the Eastern Conference and leading that race by 1 point. They have lost seven straight, and their goal differential for the season is even, 159 on each side of the ledger. Catch how many close games this team plays, though. With 13 overtime losses, you know that they play it close. On the 8th of February, a 2-1 loss versus Colorado. Then the 10th, it was a 2-1 overtime loss versus Tampa Bay. Then a 4-3 overtime loss at Buffalo. A 3-1 loss versus the Rangers. A 4-3 shootout loss at New Jersey. A 5-1 loss at Philadelphia. A 4-3 overtime loss versus Philadelphia in their most recent game on the 20th. Next up, they'll face Montreal. Next up, they'll face off Monday versus the Ottawa Senators. And that is where the Blue Jackets stand over in the Eastern Conference. Their NHL ranks. Goals for 2.56 is 28th in the league. That is a terrible number. Their goals against, though, 2.52 is second in the league, and you can see why they are maintaining and hanging around in the wild card race over in the Eastern Conference. They're giving up 32.4 shots against, and they're generating 29.5. Their power play, 25th in the NHL at 16.1%, and their penalty kill ranks at number 11 overall in the league. Second regular season meeting between these two teams will take place on March the 14th when the Nashville Predators head off towards Columbus. For the Nashville Predators, this is the first of a five-game homestand with only 13 wins on home ice. That has them near the bottom of the Western Conference for number of home victories. Bridgestone Arena needs to become an impenetrable fortress, and it needs to happen very quickly. I do not know if the feelings of Smashville will come back with the Predators from Chicago after what we just saw this evening. The Nashville Predators will face off after Columbus Tuesday versus the Ottawa Senators, Thursday versus the Calgary Flames, Saturday the Colorado Avalanche come on in here, and the Edmonton Oilers will be the final team on the homestand before the Preds head off to face the Minnesota Wild. When it comes to the Nashville Predators, they have maintained a top 10 offense in the league all season long at 3.19, but you would never know it by what you just saw. Goals against also at 3.19, 24th in the NHL, 33 shots for the Nashville Predators per game, 30.5 given up against per game. The power play, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. 23rd in the NHL at 16.4%. Somehow, other teams have been so bad on the power play that they have fallen behind the Nashville Predators, who put up a nice 0-5 against the Chicago Blackhawks. The penalty kill, the worst in the NHL, 31st in the league. On the schedule affecting the Western Conference races, Winnipeg is at Philadelphia, Tampa Bay is at Arizona, Boston is at Vancouver, Florida is at Vegas, and Colorado is at LA. Nick Bonino has been out the last couple of games. He has had an illness. I know a lot of people are saying that he has the trade flu, trade deadline itis, whatever the hell it is that you want to say, but it appears that Nick Bonino actually has an illness and has been out of the lineup the last couple of games. He has been practicing, or he at least practiced before missing these last couple of games. So I would not delve too far into the conspiracy theory when it comes to Nick Bonino being out of the lineup against Chicago. And the trade deadline? Well, there's one more game for David Poile to evaluate the team in front of him on the ice. And I would have to say, right about now, there are a couple of players, if it wasn't for the amount of money and years on their contract, David Poile might shop them just to make a change here in Nashville and to send the real message to this locker room, because clearly they are not getting it. Roman Josi still leads the Nashville Predators in scoring after 59 games played. 14 goals, 43 assists. He has 57 points. No movement on his scoring in this most recent game. And for the captain, now falling just a little bit off the pace. It was fantastic to see Ryan Ellis back on the ice for the first time since the opening minutes of the Winter Classic. Now 40 games played this season. He has 6 goals and 22 assists for 28 points, and he slotted right back in there. No problem. 23-33 in time on ice for Ryan Ellis in his first game back. You would have thought the mentality might be ease him back in the lineup, maybe put him on that third D pair the first night on the road in Chicago. John Hines, who had never even seen Ryan Ellis in the lineup as head coach of the Nashville Predators, went ahead, threw him out there with Roman Josi. He delivered the goods. He was rock solid, making plays all over the place, as we always expect from Ryan Ellis. Nick Bonino, 17 goals are missing from the lineup right now. Craig Smith is on 17. Granlund's on 14. Arvidsson is on 13. And Philip Forsberg seems to be stuck on 18. 18 permanently for a guy who had finally started to find consistency over the first half of the season. It is tremendously disappointing now that Scoresburg has checked into the month of February, because both of those things have to be canceled immediately. He's got a big homestand in front of him and a chance to make up some ground and scoring some goals, but I am incredibly disappointed with what I am seeing out of Phil Forsberg. I have championed him as a potential 40-goal scorer, as a guy who should, at this point in his career, be able to break the single-season franchise record and should definitely be leading his team in scoring. He's supposed to be a dynamic power forward in the NHL and one of the best in the league, and he's not performing like it right now. I have given Forsberg a pass many, 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 many times on this radio show because I know he has the ability to do it, and he usually, once I start to get the itch to start talking about how he's not getting it done, he usually starts to heat up and gets it done. Now he's not getting it done. Pekka-Rinne, he got it done last night, and the team failed him. 34 games skated, 18-13-3 on the season, a 304 goals against, an 898 save percentage. UC Saros is at 11-10-4, a 296 and a 903 save percentage. When you talk about the Columbus Blue Jackets, and I'm only going to do that very briefly right here, Pierre-Luc Dubois, 62 games skated, 17 goals, 27 assists, 44 points. 8 of those 27 assists coming on the power play for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Gustav Nyquist, 62 games skated, 12-25, 437. You see a bunch of scoring throughout the lineup for the Columbus Blue Jackets, but none of these statistical totals are going to blow your mind. Seth Jones, 56 games played this season, 6 goals, 24 assists, 30 points, 2 of those goals and 7 of those assists coming on the power play. When it comes to the netminders for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Jonas Korpisalo, 32 games played, 17-10-4, 249, and a 913 save percentage. And they've got a bunch of other goaltenders that they've used throughout the season. Frankly, right now, I'm kind of pissed, and I don't really want to focus on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Maybe I should have taken a nap and then gotten up and done the show with a little bit of a clearer mind. But after breaking this thing down, I watched it live, then I broke the tape down, I made my notes, I decided, well, at that point, I better do a little bit of yoga and a little bit of meditation, because if I go into the studio this red hot, the takeover might be the last thing that ever happens on Nashville Sports Radio from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. We go into this game, first of back-to-backs for the Nashville Predators, and of course, last week on a back-to-back home-and-home with the St. Louis Blues, they swept that thing in regulation. Now an opportunity to go up against the Chicago Blackhawks and the Columbus Blue Jackets this weekend. Significantly lesser talent than what they faced last weekend. First game in Chicago, and of course we've already been talking about tonight's game in Columbus. So, as the Nashville Predators are landing over at BNA just about now and heading off to their houses to get some sleep for the night, I hope just one of you is tuning in to hear this recap, to hear what an abysmal performance you had in Chicago last night. Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson reunited for this game. That line has a nickname of some sort. I'm not ever going to use it again because they are not getting the job done. Yarncroke, Duchesne, and Granlund are your second line. Grimaldi, Turris, and Smith. Blackwell into the lineup for Bonino. Sissons and Watson make up your fourth line. With Ryan Ellis getting back into the lineup, we already mentioned he paired up with Roman Josi right back out there on the first D pair and already putting in significant numbers. Great to see him back on the ice. Tenorti and Ekholm getting an opportunity to stay together. Fabro bumps down to the third pair with Dan Hamhuis. And for Fabro, this is not a penalty. Yes, he got a chance to skate with Josi for a little while, and yes, he skated with Ekholm for a little while, but there is such a thing as the rookie wall in the NHL. And Dante Fabro right now at 60 games, he's about to hit that rookie wall. Let's face it, the NHL plays the most game and is the most intense hockey league on the entire planet. And when defensemen are adjusting to the NHL, one of the reasons it takes them so long to get to where we want them to be is because it takes time to build up the stamina to play in this league. So for Dante Fabro, no problem at all, him going to the third D pair for the rest of the season. Tenorti, I think there could be an upgrade right there, but who in the hell are you going to put in the lineup right now? I don't trust any of the other Predators defensemen, and I don't see anyone out there on the market. Dustin Byfuglien's not going to step right in and be a top four defenseman for this Nashville Predators team. And what Dan Hamhuis has been putting on display as of late tells me he's barely even a bottom three defenseman on this Nashville Predators team. By the way, the corpse defense, Hamhuisian mistake every single time you do it. Pekarinen gets the start in net for the Nashville Predators. We go into the first period. And at the 2:47 mark, Matt Duchene's off the box 2 minutes for slashing. Pekarinen comes up with a huge save on Duncan Keith, plus a rebound opportunity. Following that up, Pekarinen comes up with another huge save on Duncan Keith. Kyle Turris has a broken stick at this point, so you've got a 5-on-3.5 out there on the ice. And Pekarinen, over the course of this power play, would have to come up with 7 total saves. Chicago controlled the puck for the entire 2 minutes, and Pekarinen was completely under siege. But the net for Nashville gets the job done and weathers the storm. At 7:47, a scramble is created by Pekarinen. He misplays the puck behind the net. As a matter of fact, he went out to play with the stick, but he stepped on it, and this caused a whole bunch of problems. Thankfully for the Nashville Predators, he had some good support, and Roman Josi was able to stop Taves right there in the crease from putting that puck into the net. So Pekarinen caused this problem. The captain bails him out in this situation. 7:56 of the first period. Cuckoo's off the box 2 minutes for tripping on Rocco Grimaldi. As a matter of fact, after that scramble in front of the net with Rene and Josi getting the clear, it was Grimaldi attempting to skate the puck out of the zone, and Rocco Grimaldi gets tripped. Excellent job by Rocco right there, drawing a penalty, and most importantly at this moment, getting a stoppage in the game for the Nashville Predators to get a regroup. Kyle Turris would get a shot on goal. It's the Preds' first shot on the game at the 7:56 mark of the game. Brandon Saad would get a shorthanded breakaway after Philip Forsberg takes the gamble at the blue line and loses. He would be stopped by Pekarinen, but Forsberg, he doubled down on that gamble and lost a second time, trying to back check, ends up getting called for the penalty on the breakaway, and you know what that leads to, a referee pointing directly towards center ice, and this is a penalty shot that is stopped by Pekarinen. An excellent job of closing the five hole. He was more patient than the shooter, so the Nashville Predators are able to avoid a disaster here on the power play. 42 seconds would be remaining on the power play after this penalty shot, but the Nashville Predators were not able to accomplish anything. At 12:01 of the period, Pekarinen makes a save on DeBrincat and his jam attempt. At 14:05, a shot deflects off of Grimaldi. This requires Crawford to show some focus and come up with a big save. 15:41, Granlund turns and fires off the outside side of the post after curling off of the goal line. 17:21, Smith steps out from the goal line and has a jam attempt plus a rebound jam attempt, and then Crawford comes up strong on both of those. At 18:07, Victor Arvidsson goes to the box 2 minutes for cross-checking in the offensive zone. The Nashville Predators looked like they were about to develop a good forecheck. Victor Arvidsson skates right behind the net and in clear view of the referee, puts the stick up, extends the arms, and heads to the box. Duncan Keith would hit the post on the power play for Chicago. We hit the end of the first period. Chicago out shooting Nashville 12-10 after the Preds were outshot 10-1 in the early part of this period. So the Nashville Predators are able to survive the huge crush in the early part of this game by the Chicago Blackhawks. Thankfully, the Nashville Predators are still shorthanded going into the second period. It's only 7 seconds left to kill off, and the Nashville Predators would do that easily. At 2:09 of the second, Crawford comes up with a save on Duchene. At 4:37, Turris rebound attempt in close off of Grimaldi's shot. It is stopped by Crawford. 8:27. Saad walks in from the circle uncontested. Pekarinen comes with a huge save. Scramble and clear. 8:53. Pekarinen save on Kampf after Saad's feed had him all alone. Hamhuis playing corpse defense slides himself right out of the play. And you know everybody's going to know about this on the scouting report, so they just stand there, hold the puck, wait for Hamhuis to take himself out, and then they just go ahead and move on with what they're doing, trying to score a goal and, you know, usually scoring a goal. At 9:39, Dante Favreau's got a shot. Yarncroke's got some jam at the rebound, all stopped by Crawford. 3 total saves on this sequence. At 12:25, Keith is off to the box for 2 minutes 14-56. We see Matthias Ekholm, and he is bringing the Nashville Predators to a 1-0 lead with his 8th goal of the season on the rush. Rocco Grimaldi makes a perfect pass all the way across the zone to Matthias Ekholm. He gets the long wrist shot, and he beats Corey Crawford, giving the Nashville Predators a 1-0 lead. Matthias Ekholm was awesome on this rush. He flashed the stick, he was open for the pass, and he converted on the shot. Love watching this guy play hockey. He is an all-around world-class hockey player out there on the ice for the Nashville Predators. 15-27 with a 1-0 lead. Kukoc's off to the box, 2 minutes for interference. And then Keith is going to the box, 2 minutes for hooking. The Nashville Predators have a 5-on-3 in this game for a minute and 13 seconds. Forsberg gets a good scoring opportunity, but Crawford comes up huge on this one for 47 seconds now. We have a 5-on-4, but for the Nashville Predators, absolutely nothing is happening. We hit the end of the second period. The Preds were able to pick up a goal on Ekholm's 8th of the season. They hold a 1-0 lead, and they are now out shooting Chicago 30-21. Remember, Chicago started this game out shooting the Preds 10-1, and now the Preds have 30 shots on net, 20 of them coming in the second period, but only one goal, including on that 5-on-3 power play time. Into the third period, Smith shot at 109, Grimaldi rebound opportunity, Crawford strong again. 151 into the period, Kajula drives the net and forces Pecorine to come up with a huge save at 556. Kukoc's off the box for his third penalty of the game, 2 minutes for tripping on Blackwell, and Blackwell took a nasty spill into the wall on this one, but he was skating hard and he was winning a race, and he drew a penalty, giving the Predators a power play. Unfortunately, Ryan Johansson, for what seems like at least the 6th time this season, takes a penalty to even things out. 2 minutes for hooking. This took place in the offensive zone, creating a 4-on-4 for a minute and 29 seconds, and it was definitely the chicken wing play right here. Johansson made the mistake of getting the stick up under the arm. The player for the Blackhawks just seized the opportunity and made sure he chicken winged that thing until everybody saw what was going on. So here we have a 4-on-4 scenario, but then Philip Forsberg is going to the box, 2 minutes for tripping. So we have a 4-on-3, which is going to lead to a 5-on-3 for 31 seconds. In this 31 seconds, Pecorine comes up with an absolutely huge save on a long shot with the toe, plus the rebound, then hits the post. Pecorine then comes up with a sliding backdoor save on a perfect setup. It was so good, they had to review it just to make sure it didn't go across the line. And Pecorine had perfect control of the leg just inside the post. He keeps it outside the goal line. So it is a no goal after the review. The Preds get a little bit of a breather here on the penalty kill. DeBrincat then scores his 15th goal of the season, tying this game up at 1-1. It's awarded to DeBrincat, but Patrick Kane is the one who did all the work. He walks in from the high circle. He takes the shot, and it hits DeBrincat on the way in. We have a tie game in Chicago with just a few minutes remaining in the third period. 14-45. Pecorine comes up with a huge save on Kajula. Chicago is buzzing. Pecorine is battling. 17-11. Granlund drives the net. Crawford comes up with a huge save. 19-01. Yossi's got a shot tipped by Johansson, but Crawford again comes up with another big save. 19-43, Pecorine comes up with a huge save, plus a rebound save with the toe, and you see Ellis with the assist and the clear. This, obviously, a game saver as we head to the buzzer of the third period. Tied at 1-1, Nashville out shooting Chicago 40-37 in this game. So the Chicago Blackhawks come up with 16 shots on goal in the third period. They are able to tie it up, and they are able to seize plenty of momentum. The Predators seem to go into a total shell after the game was tied up. It was piss poor hockey that gave them the opportunity to tie it up, and then once it was tied up, the Nashville Predators went completely into a shell against a team that is not as good as they are. 55 seconds into overtime, Granlund just misses the far post. He goes for the tuck, and he gets it by the goaltender, but the accuracy is not there, and it's just a couple of inches wide. And then we see DeBrincat on a breakaway, and he's converting for the win. It is a 2-1 final in Chicago in overtime. Pekka Rinne earns a point. The rest of the Nashville Predators, outside of maybe like three or four of them, accomplished absolutely nothing there tonight. This is not a night where Corey Crawford stole a win for the Chicago Blackhawks. This is a night where the Nashville Predators lost a hockey game for themselves. Where are the Nashville Predators? You beat the St. Louis Blues in St. Louis last weekend, and you come out tonight, and you can't even score two goals on over 40 shots? 0 for 5 on the power play tonight. A 5 on 3. The penalty kill. 3 out of 4 versus the 31st ranked power play in the NHL. The worst power play going up against the worst penalty kill unit. And the worst power play unit scores to tie the game. Really unbelievable. 0 for 5 with the 5 on 3. Ridiculous. If Pekarinen doesn't have the performance he has tonight, This game could have gotten completely out of control. Completely. The Jofa line, and I hate that nickname, and I'm not using it as a term of endearment right now. Those dudes who led this team in scoring, who got hype around the league over the course of a couple of seasons as being one of the best first lines in all of hockey, where the hell are you guys? Victor Arvidsson tonight. No goals, no assists, minus one, one shot on goal. Matt Duchene, no goals, no assists, minus one, one shot on goal. Forsberg, 0-0-3. Johansson, 0-0-4. Who else do you want to hear about? Where in the hell are the Nashville Predators' top forwards and top players? It's been nice. Granlund and Smith have been on a hot run as of late. They've been scoring a lot of goals. Man, we had so much fun the last 3 years talking about Phil Bureri, talking about Scoresberg. Cancel that bull. I don't want to hear about it anymore. Matt Duchene? Overall, that might have been one of the worst performances you've had as a Nashville Predator. One goal on over 40 shots tonight in Chicago against a team that is behind you in the standings. For a team that is supposed to be desperate. For a team that is supposed to be getting every possible point. Yeah, I could sit here and spin this thing and be like, yeah, they got a point last night. And as long as they get two against the Columbus Blue Jackets, they'll be right there in a wild card spot again. It's about the effort. It's about the games. It's about getting the points that you have to get. How do you collect 4 points against the St. Louis Blues last weekend and you can't collect two against the Chicago Blackhawks tonight? I'll give the stick taps to Matthias Ekholm. 23-18 time on ice, scored a goal on the rush. He only had one shot on goal. I'll give it up for Pekarinen, 36 out of 38, throwing his body every which way, making it happen out there for the Nashville Predators, keeping them in this game. Absolutely, I'll give it up for Pekarinen. How can you guys put up a performance like that in front of that goaltender again? Ryan Ellis, I'll give him some credit too. First game back off of IR after 7 weeks. 23-33, skated in time on ice. Grimaldi with an assist. Blackwell with an assist. Craig Smith with 9 shots on net. Everybody else on this team in Chicago laid a total egg. After laying an egg against Carolina, I expected a hell of a lot more. This wasn't a must win. This was a game that you should have won. That box score pisses me off. The Jofa line getting a chance to go out there in front of John Hines and make something happen? What did you make happen? You were invisible. Craig Smith, Rocco Grimaldi, Blackwell. These are the guys that are noticeable every time they're out there on the ice. I'm about to turn on a whole bunch of you guys if I don't see something that dramatically improves over the course of this homestand. The Renegades of Puck have solidly been supportive of many of you. And you are letting every single one of them down. Rocco Grimaldi should not be at the same place with assists as Ryan Johansson is on the season. You think it's just me? Mostradamus, he can't join me right now. He has no idea we're in the trenches. He doesn't even know what's going on. I'll just read his Twitter feed to you. We all know the narrative, but at least they got a point and they still have games in hand. BS. When you're fighting for a playoff spot, you don't lose to teams below you in the standings to a division rival who had won just twice in their last 10 games. Mostradamus also tweets, Duchesne, the worst game he's played with the Preds. I'm not talking about games where he was invisible. He was very visible for all the wrong reasons in this one. Complete waste of an incredible performance by Pekka-Rinne. Johansson, Forsberg, Duchesne, Stars, says who? Mostradamus right there. You know, he's going to have plenty of strong opinions. I've got plenty of strong opinions. You've got plenty of strong opinions. And we need a place to vent. You can always do that here at Predneck Nation, in the trenches, with the Renegades of Puck. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. We needed to get in here. We needed to talk about some things. We're not going to just keep beating up on it because we already know what the problems are. The special teams are crap. Last year, worst power play in the league. You hire a specialist. You hire a new head coach. The power play is still exactly the same. I don't know how it's moved up in rankings in the NHL. That makes no damn sense. None at all. None at all. You know it doesn't. So for the power play to be as bad as it is 2 years in a row, it's just crap. For the penalty kill to be 31st in the league, it's crap. For this team to be on the outside of the playoffs looking in, it's crap. David Poile, you got 2 days to make some decisions, and I don't want to see Stan Pat Poile. Shake something up. Make something happen. The season's not over. There's still a quarter of the way to go. But every time I see something like what I saw tonight, it makes me realize the hill that I'm fighting on, it's awfully, awfully steep. Support this radio station because they give us access to these airwaves. Because when we've got something to say, they let us come in here and they let us say it. Renegades of Puck, jump in the trenches with Nashville Sports Radio and with Predneck Nation Radio. I am your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. I wanted to get some things off my chest. I also wanted to make sure we recapped everything that happened so we make sure we document the performance that we saw with our very own eyes just a few hours ago in Chicago. Pekka-Rinne was a boss. This team is going to break that dude. He is one of the best players this franchise has ever had, and each time you send him back to that locker room with that look of sadness on his face, it's one more game closer to breaking the best goaltender this franchise has ever had. He did everything he could to will this team to a victory against Chicago, and you let him down. And you forwards, you let the rest of us down. I have much higher expectations, Renegades. You have a homestand coming up over the next week. You better collect some points and you better win some games. I don't even know what else I can say. I'm just pissed. Pissed about this. It was an awful result last night. Absolutely awful.